Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets.
It's all about the Badgers.
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers!
Games like this is what really separates college football from everything else.
Open up the history books. Here comes Rondé.
That was J.J. Watt, and what a story this young man is.
Guarded again! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
And the pass rush gets home for the Badgers.
Camp Randall lets it roar.
This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Man, that feels good to say it. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Can the Badgers shock the world and go on the road and hand the second-ranked Indiana Hoosiers their first loss of the 2025 campaign? Probably not, but that doesn't mean it kills the good vibes from the win last week over 23rd-ranked Washington. We're here to talk about that and a whole lot more as we get you set for a college football Saturday. The Wisconsin Badgers and the Indiana Hoosiers on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Good morning, everybody, in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. My name is Jesse Delson, and this is a special day. For the first time since the season kicked off, our pregame show is actually at full strength. Can you believe it, guys? I'm here, Adam Mertz is here, and Brad Nortman is here, along with our producer, Riley Yauch. This is the first time since that opening Thursday night against Miami, Ohio, that all three of us are hosting this show in the same place. There was one segment where Mertzy joined us from Oregon on a pregame show a couple of weeks ago. Besides that one, there we have all not been on the air together. It's wild that we are now in week, 10, 11 of the season, and this is the first time. This is wild, but great to be with all you guys, and we're coming off a Badgers victory, Brad.
Yeah, just like how it feels for the Badgers to get a win, how good that feels on the heart, that's how good it feels to be at full strength with our Wisconsin College Game Day pregame crew. And this week did feel a little bit different, right? Obviously, such a roller coaster ride that we've experienced this season, right? It seems like the previous several years of Wisconsin Badger football have been characterized that way, but I can't remember a time when it's been such an emotional roller coaster ride, right? With the bad losses, with hearing so much from the athletic director. Have you ever heard so much from the athletic director in your lifetime?
I gotta admit, this feels like the world's worst roller coaster. This is a roller coaster. I think there need to be more ups for it to be a roller coaster.
It really is. And like, going into today, do I have a whole lot of optimism that Wisconsin can pull the upset? I do not. Indiana's a very good team. Mm-hmm. And I know we're gonna talk a lot about the history of this rivalry, but there's been like an inversion of programs, right, between who the Badgers were and who they are now and who the Hoosiers were and who they are now. But I will say, getting a victory, even in very sloppy conditions, even in a very sloppy fashion, it just feels good for this program, right? It feels like all the tenseness, the anxiety, the stress, it feels like it was relieved a little bit and oxygen flooded the room. Now, it won't last forever, right? Like if you ever have like a bonfire and you throw a little lighter fluid on it, whoosh, it kind of goes up in the air. That's what I feel like how these guys responded to all the drama, right? To all the drama of Coach Fickell coming back in 2026 and, just everything going on with the program. I felt like it was lighter fuel on a small flame. It lasts for a minute, but it doesn't last forever. So it's going to be on this team to try to finish strong, whatever that looks like for this team, and then right the ship for 2026, because there's really no time to waste.
3 minutes in, and we already got our Brad Nortman analogy of the day.
Yeah,
that's how you
nice.
Know we're back on the pregame show, Adam Mertz.
Hey, credit to them that there was a flame there. I will say
yes.
that. I didn't know whether this team was still in this. Make it look respectable. That was how I felt the game was at Oregon. It played pretty decent game. Is that the max that they could deliver for the rest of the year? For them to come out and put that effort forward and to have that belief I think that's the thing that struck me when I was watching, that they actually were still believing in themselves. And I think a lot of people have questioned that. You've seen a lot of evidence to the contrary the last couple of years about where this team's head was in these kinds of games. So amazing. It did feel like the first time in the entire Luke Fickell era that things went their way. And not that, I mean, we talk about this a lot. We talked about it on postgame show last week. Good football teams make their breaks. That's absolutely true. But they also get breaks. Like, this is every sport, it's really important to take advantage of things that are given to you. And they did. They took full advantage of the situation last weekend. You can put all these caveats on it. Punters leading the team in passing.
Yeah.
I mean, which was... wonderful. I want to hear Brad's take on that.
What a day, guys. What a day.
And you can say, oh, yeah, you know, like it wasn't a complete game. Who cares? They actually won a game. They put it together, and they finished the job. And it was pretty amazing seeing Carter Smith out there in the aftermath with his camera up, just oblivious, basically, to the plight of the program, soaking in the moment. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's where that guy's head needs to be right now. Who cares? Who cares about anything else right now except that we won?
Well, and the bright silver lining around that win, because, I mean, we're searching for it, right, guys? We're searching for what are the positives. What can you take going forward? Because 2025 is already a critical year. 2025 sets up to be literally a make-it-or-break-it year. I cannot see a scenario where this team wins six or less games in 2026, and both Mack and Fickell are back in 2027. I just don't see it. So how can you reinvent this team quickly? You've got the portal coming up in 2 weeks. That's all it is. Just one portal now. Two weeks in early January, and you've got early signing period in December. So you've got the next 2 months to remake this roster. But I was just wondering, watching this team for so long, where's the heart? Where's the soul? Where's the care for the program that has been characterized so well? And my silver lining is this has a youthful core that you can really build on. I mean, obviously Carter Smith, you know, he brings a level of intensity and grit that's exciting. But I look at Gideon Atuka, and I look at Cooper Catalano and Mason Posa. I mean, you've got young freshmen, whether it be redshirted or true freshmen, where these guys have heart and soul. They play like Wisconsin Badger football players. They play like they care about the program. They care. They play like they're willing to sacrifice their body and heart for success on the field. And they've got a heartbeat now. So I look at this and say, you know what? I didn't see the glimmer of hope. I didn't see the potential. But you see this youth movement of guys now getting their opportunity. And I say, those are the kind of guys I can build a program around. So at one point, I felt like maybe there was no spark, there was no flame, and maybe all it took was getting some older upperclassmen out that were no longer bought in, or maybe that you're talking about guys that were transfers that, you know, were just looked at it transactionally. Feels like these young guys that, to Coach Fickell's credit, he brought in, he recruited, and brought in as high school freshmen, freshmen from high school, and it seems like they're guys that you can actually build a program around.
We'll talk more about those young guys in a moment. First, I do want to remind everybody, ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer as cold as the Rockies. Cold filtered, cold lagered, cold packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do. Crush a Coors Light. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Jesse Nelson, Brad Nortman, Adam Mertz on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, counting you down to Wisconsin and second-ranked Indiana. 11 a.m. kickoff on the Big Ten Network in Bloomington this morning. Yeah, they're 29.5-point underdogs. We'll talk plenty more about that as we get
small
coming
detail.
Up. We'll do our picks coming up here next segment, but let's talk about this great young core of players who are receiving some well-deserved accolades. Cooper Catalano, the reigning Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week after that performance against Washington last week. 19 tackles, 11 solo for Cooper Catalano as a freshman, making just one of the first starts of his career, really. Like, that's an awesome thing to see for Wisconsin. Co-freshman player of the week, Mason Posa, had a great performance, including that fumble, where the forced fumble, and he recovered it, setting up the go-ahead score, which, by the way, was done by true freshman Carter Smith, who does get the start at quarterback today, according to ESPN's Pete Thamel. Now, Carter Smith, I don't know if he can actually throw the football based on what we saw last week. I was up there in section double E watching in the stadium. It was, it wasn't the best vantage point to watch, but I think he can throw the football. It was raining. It was sleeting. He's from Florida. It was chilly. Maybe that had something to do. It was a nicer day today in Bloomington. So we'll see if Carter Smith can actually let it rip today. But guys, Brad, you mentioned this. So these young players, Chris McIntosh mentioned this during his appearance on Wilde and Tausch after the news that Fickell would be back late last week. These young players that Luke Fickell has recruited to the University of Wisconsin to play football, these are the guys that are going to need to be the ones who spearhead the transformation back to glory, back to winning. And so far, since that Oregon game when we saw the emergence of Posa and Catalano, and last week Carter Smith, even though it didn't look pretty on offense, the way that he carried himself through that game where he was trying to energize the student section, the rest of the stadium, after just a simple first down run, you can design an offense to his skill set, and it can at least keep you competitive in some of these games down the stretch, Mertzie.
Yeah, and I love the energy also, and there seemed to be, when you looked, I guess I'm going to back up here a little bit. The post game is what told me a little bit more about how this team thinks about him. Have you seen the clip of when he walks into the locker room after the game? The guys are waiting for him and they explode. So that just tells you a little bit about the leadership capabilities that he has out there. There was a buy-in that I noticed from the rest of the team on what he was doing. Guys can go out there, they can have their own histrionics, they can try to get something going, but people don't always respond to that. It's the person. Brad, there's certain people you gravitate toward on a football field, and Carter Smith seems to have that ability to rally guys around him, regardless of whether he's throwing for 8 yards or whatever. Like, they're seeing his heart out there, and they're seeing his ability to carry this team forward and believe that they have a chance to win this game.
Yeah, and that's what this team has been lacking so much so, right? And not to say that these older transfer quarterbacks can't do that, right? But I think there's something to be said about someone that committed to Wisconsin from high school, right? Because you're talking about, as someone that went through that process, now I didn't get to experience what a free agency transfer type situation looks like, but there is a certain love for the program that you have when they select you coming out of high school. You're just a young man at that point. You feel like, I can believe in this program. In the NFL, they say nobody loves you like the team that drafted you. Right? Once you go to free agency, you're just kind of that free agent acquisition. You're just whatever. Nobody loves you like the team that drafts you. I would say players don't love a program more than the team that recruited you and brought you in as a freshman. And then looking at Carter Smith and these other young guys, I feel like they have that love for the university and honestly for Coach Fickell, because Coach Fickell selected them, again, as young men out of college saying, I believe in you before you've proven anything to me on the college field. So I think that these guys embody that. And I think that having somebody like Carter Smith, this team needs a heartbeat. And I think the way he plays on offense, the way Etuka runs on offense, the way that those linebackers that we talked about, the way they tackle and attack on defense, you're starting to see some life and some heartbeat in this team that I think they believe in the university, they believe in Coach Fickell. And I think for the longest time I wondered, is it possible to recruit a high schooler, bring him in, develop him, and they stay for several years in the program? That's what Wisconsin did for so long. I'm looking at this young core. I think it's possible. I don't think they're going to be searching to look for other places to go because they're upset. I think they're seeing the hope, the future, and I think that they're thinking that, you know what, I want to stay at Wisconsin and I want to develop. Hearing that and thinking about that reality, that gives me a lot of optimism.
You know what's funny? Was like the people who are worried, who tend to worry, were coming to me this week already and saying, like, we'll hang on to Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano in this new age.
It's the first thing
that comes to mind. Isn't this is something we can build around. It's how much we're going to have to pay him to keep him.
Well, and I think about that with, there's been a lot of talk about in-state recruiting, right? Yeah. And rightfully so. It's got to be part of the program. But, not to say that if you're not a Wisconsin kid, you're more likely to leave. But I look at Cooper Catalano, dude's from Wisconsin, right? He is a Wisconsin kid.
Germantown.
There is no greater joy and honor to then play for the team that you rooted for. I would be absolutely shocked if Ohio State threw some money at him, knowing how Wisconsin kids think, as my co-host Kyle Wallace would say, bumps that. I'm not going to Ohio State. I want to stay at Wisconsin. So, you know, yes, you have to do both. You have to do national recruiting. You have to do Wisconsin recruiting. But when a Wisconsin kid takes off and does well, I would be shocked if he would be even entertaining other offers to go play somewhere else.
ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. Man, it just feels good to have some optimism as part of the conversation. It feels like it's been forever since we've been able to talk about the team this way. And they're probably going to lose by 30 today. At least that's what right. the experts are saying. Right. Wisconsin and second-ranked Indiana will give you our official game predictions coming up next. Plenty more to get to throughout the course of the show as well as we look back on the win over Washington and what lies ahead for Luke Fickell, Chris McIntosh, obviously all the players involved here for the final stretch of the 2025 regular season. For more than 65 years, Gordon Flesh Company has been providing cutting-edge technology for companies of all sizes as the nation's largest Canon and Lexmark dealer. That's business technology managed. Visit gflesh.com to learn more. Our official game predictions for Wisconsin and Indiana. Hope you enjoyed the optimism in segment one. That's coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Enjoy it while it lasts. Wisconsin and second-ranked Indiana. The Hoosiers are undefeated. They are 10-0, and they are 29.5-point favorites for today's game, according to ESPN Bet. Sounds like a great chance to shock the world, doesn't it, fellas? Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, Brad Nortman, ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light, counting you down to Wisconsin and Indiana this morning in Bloomington. 11 a.m. kickoff on the Big Ten Network. By the way, our friend Jeff Levering going to have the TV call along with Jake Butt, the Big Ten Network analyst. You can watch them. Of course, Mark Tauscher, Matt LePayevin on the Badgers Radio Network. Jeff Levering, who you hear on Brewers broadcasts on 620 WTMJ, 100.5 ESPN Madison, the home of the Brewers across the state of Wisconsin. He also joined The Jump Around, ESPN Madison's digital Badgers dedicated show, debuts every Thursday. Jim Rutledge, Pablo Iglesias, our producer Riley Yauch, part of that as well. Jeff Levering's conversation with Pablo and Jim, if you want to listen to that as you count down to kickoff as well, you can find that on the ESPN Wisconsin app and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. What show are we doing? ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. Prep Mania. What am I saying? ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is brought to you in part by Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. Winners go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, the casino with the highest payouts in the area. Go be a winner at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. They're open right now, and they stay open until 2 a.m. on Monday. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. More spins, more wins, more fun. Speaking of wins, let's go ahead and lock in our official game predictions for Wisconsin and number two Indiana. Our promise to you all season long, whether we've been at full strength or not on this pregame show, we will deliver our picks early in this pregame so that we have the rest of the show to defend our official predictions. I don't know who should go first since we're all here. Brad, why don't we start with you? What do you think?
I would love to go first. So I've got the
I'm sorry, I forget. Riley's upset with me.
Oh, wow, why?
I am. I have a hole open that I've been playing all season that I've produced for game picks.
We haven't paid all year.
And now we're back to full strength. We're like, nope, we're skipping out of the opens.
Go ahead and play it.
Will we be jumping around?
Big win for Luke Fickell and Wisconsin.
Or will it be heartbreak for the Badgers?
Feel bad for the Badgers. They gave it their all, one too many mistakes.
It's time to make our picks on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
That was worth it. All right, Brad, you're up.
A beautiful open at that, Riley.
Thank you. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that.
I could not have possibly given my picks without that energy. So thank you, Riley. So I've got the Indiana Hoosiers winning, no surprise, 35-10. So Wisconsin just covering, for those who are interested out there. When I look at this matchup, I think of Indiana, and I think of this insane offense, right? I mean, their quarterback is a Heisman finalist, and I just think about them running up the score on teams, right? So it's no surprise when I see that Indiana is sixth in total offense, in all of college football, sixth in total offense. What I didn't realize is they're fifth in total defense. Like, they've got a very good defense, too. Defenses ahead of them, Iowa, Oregon, Ohio State, teams that Wisconsin have played, not had a ton of success against moving against either. So this is a very complete team. Wisconsin, on the other hand, 41st in total defense. Not too bad.
That's not too bad.
The problem is they're 133rd out of 134 teams on total offense. So I just look at this and I just think Indiana's too good. They're too complete. They're bound for great things this year. 35-10. They're keeping it respectful. I don't think this defense is so bad that Indiana's going to put up 60 on them. I really don't. So I think 35-10, fairly respectable, but I don't think it's going to look close for the most of the game.
They're 133rd out of 134 in total offense, and that's with putting up 42 points in week two.
Yeah, that's something.
Think about that. That's how bad the rest of the games have been since then.
Think about what a limiting factor that has been. I'm just not good on the mic this morning here, Jesse.
All
thank
out
you.
Of sorts. It's,
wow,
that's fair. Mertzi, your turn.
Think about what a limiting factor that offense has been. That's the area of this team where you're like, we have no hope of winning a game. I mean, that boils down to it. Like, when you can't put anything together. I was out at the Oregon game. Hunter Simmons is 1 of 12 for 12 yards in the fourth quarter. You can't win a college football game like that. It's just not possible. So, Carter Smith coming in, I'm really interested to see his growth from last week to this week, what they're able to do with a full week of preparation with him being the guy. I mean, the guy threw for 3,100 yards as a high school senior. It's better than what we saw last week in terms of his ability to zip the ball around. Is that his strength? No. But hopefully he can be competent in the passing game, because they have shown that they can put the ball on the ground and get a little bit of a running attack going with Ituka sledgehammering. So I think that it'll be interesting to see early on, can they get any traction offensively? If not, I think that's when things snowball against a team like Indiana that's a quick hit. You get out there as a defense after a 3-and-out, after a 3-and-out, after a 3-and-out, and all of a sudden you're on your back heels. No Elijah Surratt, probably, this week. I think that they're probably going to rest him again. He's not at full strength. Number one receiver for Indiana. A little bit limited, perhaps, offensively. And so that is in the back of my mind. I do have Indiana winning 36-6. I'm not convinced the Badgers can get in the end zone.
And one thing I'd like to add to that, great breakdown. The only way Wisconsin even keeps it close, let alone win, I mean, we're not even talking about the likelihood of them winning, but they need to shorten this game. They need to run the ball. And honestly, the same way the Carolina Panthers attacked the Green Bay Packers a couple weeks ago, where it's like, we need to limit their possessions. That's the only way. You need to give Indiana like 8 possessions and just really run the ball, keep that clock running. It's really the only way they're going to keep it close.
I wouldn't be surprised if the offense looks a lot like what it did last week, and that's not necessarily a bad thing if they're catering to Carter Smith's strength. If you're running that, like, you know, RPO, that option a lot, like, you know, just trying to run the football, and like you said, Brad, shorten the game. Barry Alvarez says that every week when I host the Barry Alvarez show with him on ESPN Madison. He says, like, one of the keys is to play good defense. Don't beat yourself, and limit how much the opponent can do by running the ball effectively and shortening the game. And Indiana, which has an explosive offense, we know if Wisconsin can just get some first downs, run some clock, and you get to halftime and this thing is 7-0, 7-3, you start to, okay, like, if you're within one score at the half, anything's possible if you can keep it that close. But we saw what Indiana did to Illinois earlier this season, and that's where I think the rest of the nation said, oh, they're still legit this year. That wasn't a fluke one season ago with Kurt Cignetti leading that team. They are still a very good football team, and obviously 10-0 as the number two ranked team in the country, behind only number one Ohio State. They appear to be on a collision course for the Big Ten championship game. I'm also taking Indiana. I'm really excited to see what Carter Smith can do next week, because I don't think Indiana's going to give up a whole lot to a true freshman quarterback today. They are really good at defense. That's an overlooked part of their game, because they are so good offensively. That's what everyone looks to, and they say, oh, Indiana put up 40 again. But they don't give up much either. So 41-7, my official prediction for today's game. I think we're going to see some struggles for the Badgers offense again, and we might revert a little more back to feeling like what we had done previously this season. But next week, when Illinois comes, that's the one that I start to say, if we can see something in these final two games, Illinois and Minnesota aren't necessarily as good as we thought. Well, Illinois especially isn't as good as we thought they would be this year. That's an opportunity for Wisconsin to build some confidence here heading to the conclusion of the season. Riley Yauch hosts the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show. He was fired up after the win last week. Mertzi, you were there with him. He was all beaming ear to ear. How confident are you, Riley, that Wisconsin as a 30-point underdog can go to Bloomington and upset the number two ranked team in the country?
So I can't tell you, after last week, I was so happy. And coming into today, the past few days, I've been doing some research. And I was like, man, I just got to find like one statistic that Indiana's bad at. Like, they got to have one weakness. There's got to be some way the Badgers can win this game. And I'm looking, and there's nothing. They are beautiful. Such a juggernaut. And that's why, in my head, I'm drawing the analogy, I brought it up on the postgame show last week. Like, this is Rocky IV. Wisconsin is Rocky, and Indiana is Ivan Drago. Like, he's a machine. They are just an absolute machine. And then I was like, okay, so how'd Penn State keep it close? And ultimately, I think Wisconsin, to keep it close and potentially spring an upset, they need multiple big plays. Every touchdown drive for Indiana for Penn State was sprung by a big play. They had like a 50-yard pass completion that led to a touchdown. They had like a 40-some-yard run by Nicholas Singleton that led to a touchdown. Then they had an interception that led to a touchdown. Every other drive amounted to nothing for Penn State. So that's what Wisconsin needs to do, along with shortening the game, like you guys said. Then the defense needs to have a repeat performance. Penn State made Fernando Mendoza pretty uncomfortable last week. They sacked him 3 times, forced that pick. He only threw for like 200 yards and a touchdown. And that's a pretty tall task.
Where do you think these offensive explosive plays are going to come from there, pal?
See, that's the issue. I think Wisconsin is good for one today. They're good for one explosive play, and it's forced by the defense. I think they can force a turnover
and
set them up just like they did last week. And I think Wisconsin will score one touchdown today, and the defense will play tough, but that'll be it. I have Indiana winning 24-10. It's as good of a loss as you can have to Indiana. It's as good of a game as you can play. However, Indiana, they are a machine. It's not Rocky IV. They're not going to be. He's a man. He's a man. He's not a machine. We saw him bleed last week, but yeah, I don't think Wisconsin gets it done, but it's as good of a loss as we can have today.
I would feel better about Wisconsin's chances to stay close in this game had Indiana not been scared last week by Penn State. I think that was their wake-up call, their kind of snap back to urgency,
totally,
where you got to take everybody seriously. Heard Kurt Cignetti say that in his press conference earlier this week. They're going to get everybody's best shot. They're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. And I am a little worried coming back home that they're going to be ready for anything Wisconsin would throw at them today.
This Indiana team, I still just am, because hearing Riley break down and like seek a weakness on this Indiana team, they really don't have a weakness. They really don't. They don't have a glaring weakness. It just reminds me that this is the most incredible program turnaround I've ever seen. I mean, it really is. We applaud Barry Alvarez, and rightfully so, for like turning around a Wisconsin team that was bad and all that kind of stuff. It is the most remarkable turnaround I've ever seen. Up until he gave them 11 wins last year. Do you know the last time they had double-digit wins? The Indiana program.
Never.
It didn't happen. Right?
Never.
It didn't happen.
They've never had 8 wins is the most they've ever had. They've never, I guess they had 9 wins in 1945. They never had double-digit wins ever in their program history. And now look at them. They're the number 2 team in the nation, a legitimate college football championship contender, and Riley deep diving for his beloved Badgers to find a weakness, and he cannot find one. This is the most remarkable turnaround I've ever seen out of a program.
So we're going to talk more about the Indiana turnaround, especially going down memory lane to what a game was that's been making the rounds on social media this week that Brad Nortman was a part of. We'll talk more about that, and I think the comparisons in looking at the turnaround at Indiana compared to where we're at Wisconsin has been an interesting conversation point as well. So we'll continue to talk about that as we preview today's game, Wisconsin and second-ranked Indiana. By the way, share your game predictions with us on the ESPN Madison social media platforms. You'll see our full graphic with all of our teammates sharing their game predictions. You can also hop in the comments on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream, ESPN Milwaukee as well, or you can text them on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line at 844-770-3776. Our friends at Liberty Station are running a game day shuttle program all season long for home games here in Madison, and that includes next week for the home finale against Illinois. I'm telling you, the shuttle is the way to go to get downtown on a game day, because you don't have to worry about trying to find street parking, seeing if your vehicle fits in, doing your parallel parking, or paying an exorbitant amount for a parking structure wherever you may be. No, just go park at Liberty Station over on the west side just off the Beltline for $20. You get a Coors Light in hand. You get a round-trip shuttle to and from the game. It's the best deal in sports. And then after the game, you get to hang out at Liberty Station American Tavern over on the west side, have some delicious barbecue. They've got the brisket quesadilla that I know this panel has enjoyed over the years. It is so good. The official caterer of ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, Liberty Station American Tavern and Smokehouse, located off the Beltline on Rimrock Road. A trip down memory lane comparing Wisconsin and Indiana. My, how things have changed. We'll talk about it next on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. At Rocky versus Drago today in Bloomington, Wisconsin and second-ranked Indiana. Riley Alk,
kudos to you.
We're doing all Rocky IV. We're doing the whole soundtrack.
I love it. I love it.
He's not a machine.
Hey,
he's a man.
I just saw there was an Instagram clip not long ago. Dolph was getting interviewed, and they asked him to give all of his eight lines or whatever from the movie.
Yeah, the Rich Eisen show. I saw that.
That was Rich Eisen. That's right. That was so good. He didn't even remember him, but I'm like, oh my gosh, there were only eight. He only spoke eight times the whole movie.
Eight lines. Remarkable. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, Brad Norman, producer Riley Alk. He hosts the postgame show after the final whistle today. We're brought to you in part by Bruner Realty. If you've been waiting to buy your next home, stop waiting. Now is the time to get housed. For over 30 years, Bruner Realty has been providing excellent real estate and property management services in the Madison area. Contact their team at BrunerRealtyInc.com to get started today. BrunerRealtyInc.com, the realtor that my wife Becca and I trusted with our home buying process a couple of years ago. Stacy's the best, and I know he's having a good week celebrating his Wisconsin Badgers, getting a win over 23rd-ranked Washington last week at Camp Randall Stadium. A former Bucky Badger, Stacy Bruner, and the great team at Bruner Realty. Wisconsin and Indiana, who would have ever thought that these two programs would be directly compared for many different reasons? Kurt Cignetti comes into Indiana, and he has now become the face of how to turn a program around instantly in college sports. Indiana, which has cycled through coach after coach after coach, attempting to rebuild their program unsuccessfully for years. Like, it was an achievement for Indiana to get the 6 wins and go to a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Cignetti comes in, instantly has them in the 12-team college football playoff last year. Brad, you mentioned last segment, double-digit wins for the first time in program history. This year, they're back, better than last year, second-ranked team in the country, fifth in offense, sixth in total defense. They are just a remarkable juggernaut. 15 years ago, it was a little different. 15 years ago, the Wisconsin Badgers beat Indiana on a November Saturday afternoon at Camp Randall Stadium. Not that much different than today.
November 13th, almost exactly 15 years ago.
The final score of that game, with junior Brad Nortman standing on the sidelines doing absolutely nothing, earning every cent of that scholarship, 83-20 was the final score.
Unbelievable.
Brad, take us back. I think we all remember the game, but you remember it more than us because you were on the field for
it. Yeah, guys, that was such a special season, right? The first of 3 Rose Bowls in a row. The two of the ones that I were a part of, right? So this was to jog everyone's memory, right? This was John Clay, Monte Ball, James White. You had 3 stud running backs. Scott Tolzien is the quarterback. You know, Russell Wilson was next year, but you had J.J. Watt, who just absolutely leapt onto the scene as a force on defense. And this was coming off the heels 2 weeks. So, a month before this, if you go all the way back to 2010, we beat number 1 Ohio State. We beat number 13 Iowa when we were 10th overall. So we were feeling a ton of confidence, right? We're like, we are well on our way to win the Big Ten and go to the Rose Bowl. And it's not like we picked on Indiana that year, 83-20. We scored 70 two other times. right? Austin Peay beat by 70, and Northwestern we also scored 70. So it was a team that was peaking, right? Because you look at the, I'm just going back and reminiscing about my squad. Every starting offensive lineman played in the NFL. All three running backs played in the NFL. Scott Tolzien played in the NFL. Our leading receiver, Nick Toon, played in the NFL. Lance Kendricks, our leading tight end, played in the NFL. A handful of guys played in the NFL, including J.J. Watt, and who would have been a stud in Chris Borland if he just let his career play out and didn't retire early. So we had guys, and we had a punter that played in the NFL that didn't even punt one time that game. And I think about not only that team, but that game. I just felt like, first of all, Coach Bielema's mentality, right? He was just, we're rolling downhill at you. You got to stop us when it comes down to it. There was no, there's no waving the white flag. If it's, you know, he's a former player himself. So if you're, if there's time on the clock and you're stepping in between the white lines, we're rolling at you. We're not going to let up the gas. And that's just who our identity was. And because of that, not only did we show up for big games and we had confidence in sort of this, this gear inside of our team that we're just coming at you. It's the same way with when you play lesser opponents. We just weren't going to let up. There was just no surrender. There was no give up. We're just going to hammer you through and through. I'm looking at the stats, guys. Scott Tolzien threw the ball 18 times, and we scored 83 points.
Yeah.
We ran the ball with Monte and James. John Clay must have been injured. Think about that. They didn't even have to tackle John Clay.
They didn't have one of their best players.
If John Clay, maybe John Clay wasn't even on the team at that point. No, he was.
He was. Yeah.
We ran the ball between Monte and James 41 times. So we just ran the ball and said, stop us. Monte Ball averaged... the two of them, 7.5 yards per carry. So we just kept on rolling. So I think about that time in Wisconsin football and Indiana football, right? Because I think they had 5 wins that year. They weren't horrible. They weren't, you know, 0 wins in the Big Ten. But it was just two programs that have now inverted, because I feel like Indiana has taken a completely different stance on how they approach the game of football. They've taken on the personality of your head coach, and you end up doing that, particularly in college football. Whatever your head coach embodies, your players tend to embody that. And Kurt Cignetti said straight up when he came to Indiana, I'm a winner. Watch me. And, you know, like, you want to win the game? Stop us, right? There is this Brett Bielema-like mentality that he has adopted to Indiana. And Indiana, I mean, it's so crazy we're saying this. 2 years ago, I'd say Indiana's a cupcake, right?
Yeah.
A cupcake in the Big Ten. There is zero DNA in the Indiana program that's tough. And now that's the exact opposite. Like, they are tough. Cignetti has put them in them. And Wisconsin, we're still seeking our identity. So it was a game, the only game in my whole life, college or pros, that I never punted in, an 83-20 game. And I just remember us doing whatever we wanted to do. Whatever we wanted to do is a testament to our mentality, how good we were, and it was a testament to where Indiana was at the time.
And I think what amazes me, and for fans who may, you know, there's a lot of people tuning in who may have moved to the Madison area and didn't watch the Badgers at the time, were too young to remember the game at the time. Wisconsin didn't, like, it wasn't Oregon throwing the ball up and down the field. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like the New England Patriots when they would put up with Brady and Randy Moss and all those things. Like, Tolzien threw the ball 18 times. It was just running the football. It was the same thing in the Big Ten Championship against Nebraska a couple of years later. Like, it wasn't anything super, you know, stylistically amazing on offense. It was just, we're tougher than you. We're going to create some holes for our great running backs to find open space to run the football. And there was nothing that teams could do to stop, you know, Monte and later Melvin and John Clay and James White. That, you know, that 4 year stretch where there were just great running backs galore in that room. You mentioned it. Like, it was impossible to stop for teams that were inferior in size and in skill.
I remember, because as a punter, right, you kind of get ready and you couple of punts into the net and then you just sort of watch, right?
Yeah.
I remember these offensive line just moving bodies where Monte, James, John Clay, Melvin Gordon a couple years later, they wouldn't get touched until they were 7 yards downfield. They have a full head of steam, and they're elite running backs at that. So there was truly nothing you could do. It goes back to, like, you know, Coach Alvarez would say in the Ron Dayne years for sure, you might know what we're doing, but you still have to stop it. Teams were legitimately powerless against us. And even not only Indiana, but great teams like Iowa and Ohio State, teams that were tough that had NFL players on their side too. It was a testament to how developed these O-linemen were, because these guys weren't freshmen, generally speaking.
Right.
They were upperclassmen. They'd been in the program. They'd been coached up. They'd been developed by now Ben Herbert, who's, you know, Jim Harbaugh's guy at the Chargers. And elite running backs, knowing who we were, and we just went downhill all day. And it seemed easy, guys. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was easy.
I'm loving this trip back, because that was, everyone talks about the 2011 team and Russell Wilson, and there was this it factor
like
that obviously
fireworks
he brought
in that year.
It was amazing in terms of what he could do to transform that offense into a passing offense. This offense was better. Yeah, the 2010 offense was better. I was still in the media at that point covering that game. I remember just sitting there during that Indiana game up in the press box, like, I cannot believe what I'm seeing here. There's a couple things about that season that stand out that sort of like sandwich that game. One was the Minnesota game earlier in the year when Brett went for two. And they were up, 25 points?
A controversial,
and he got asked afterward, why'd you do that? And he said, well, the card said go for two.
Yeah, I remember that distinctly.
That was great.
People are still saying the card says go for it. That's still something that Badgers fans say today.
And then the week after, to your point, Brad, about being unstoppable, you guys go to Michigan, and you run the ball 28 straight times in the second half to put away a 20-point win. Hmm. You ran it down Michigan's throat. It was incomprehensible at that point in time. So that was really special. And the thing that is that my through line on this, who was the offensive line coach for the Badgers at that point?
This is a great point, Murphy.
And who's the offensive line coach for the Indiana Hoosiers
at this point? Bob Bostead, who was the offensive line coach all 4 years when I was there and created amazing offensive lines. And now he's the offensive line coach at Indiana. Not only that, he was the recruiter for the Wisconsin territory for the Wisconsin Badgers. He recruited me. Where do you think he recruits now for the Indiana Hoosiers? The state of Wisconsin.
The Indiana Badgers.
So he has regained not only his area in Big Ten offensive line, but also his recruiting territory. And he is getting guys to bleed out of the state and go to Indiana.
He's got one from Mount Hora, Boston Leibfried, who's down there and was getting second team reps already last year as a freshman. It's really impressive. I always had such appreciation for that guy. And I hear he's still tough as nails.
So tough. Kind of scary
but
sometimes.
Like, you respect it because you saw the results that he got. That offensive line was just unbelievable in terms of the athleticism that they were able to get out on edges. You're thinking about like a Karimi and those type of guys in that starting offensive line. It was impressive to watch them.
Well, and that year we had two losses, right? Like, we lost to Michigan State in a really weird game. It was cold. It was rainy. So we lost to Michigan State earlier that year, and obviously we lost to the Rose Bowl against TCU and Andy Dalton and the Horned Frogs. In those two games, I remember us just getting away from who we were, right? Like, we didn't stick to the running game. We started, maybe got a little bit cute. And Scott Tolzien was a great quarterback, but it didn't seem like the game plan really fit who we were. It just felt like if we just run the ball and we just impose our will, we will get yardage and we will get points. The two games where we didn't do that, it wasn't until in TCU the third quarter where it feels like, whoa, we just went right down the field. We just gave the ball John Clay, Monte Ball, John Clay, and we just scored a touchdown. We're like, Whit Willer's at the whole first half.
Yep.
So it seemed like the only time we struggled is when we got away from who we were at that. And it goes to show, like, sometimes with great teams like Indiana today, the only way that they lose is if they kind of get outside of who they are. We need to kind of rely on that if Wisconsin's going to pull the upset today.
So, I mean, the talk on social media this week is almost like a revenge factor of, like, Indiana showing how many points that they can
put
out. I know.
People don't forget.
The fans don't forget.
Players were like 4 years old when that game happened. Yeah.
Exactly. But, I mean, there is value for Indiana in putting up a big point total in this one. I know everyone's pointing toward, like, oh, they're in the college football playoff. Oh, they're on this path to play against Ohio State in the championship game. I mean, they need to set themselves up so that if they lose to Ohio State, they're still getting a bye. They have to show that they are dominant force. And last week, squeaking out that win at Penn State, people are like, where are they at again? They need to finish strong in this regular season. So they're highly motivated to put up a ton of points today.
Now you're going to get me started on how they shouldn't have switched the college football playoff format from last year, and I'm a lone man on an island making that argument. And
yes, you are.
Maybe you're all going to find out in a few weeks, but we won't have time for that argument today. Maybe that'll be next week's show. Wisconsin-Indiana coming up, 11 a.m. kickoff Central Time in Bloomington. That was awesome reminiscing on that.
And that was fun.
Now
Good old days.
The comparisons of Luke Fickell and Kurt Cignetti will continue to dive into as our show continues, because that's been... the biggest thing to circle, you know, more modernized, let's say, the transformation that Indiana's gone through in the last 2 years and what has not happened at Wisconsin for various reasons. Kurt Cignetti actually talked about that earlier this week during his press conference. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day brought to you in part by Canopy Wealth Management, where they carry a longstanding tradition of working in the best interest of their clients every day. The team at Canopy emphasizes building local relationships and believe that values matter and strengthen their communities. At Canopy, care, competence, and clarity isn't just a tagline. It's a promise. Go to canopy-wealth.com to get started today. Continuing the countdown to Wisconsin and second-ranked Indiana in Bloomington on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. There's no easy way out. There's no shortcut home. There's no easy way out. Giving in can't be wrong. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. Counting you down to Wisconsin and second-ranked Indiana, the Badgers coming off a win over Washington last week at Camp Randall Stadium. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, former Badger Brad Nortman, as we continue the countdown to kickoff in the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison. Next week, we will be back on Regent Street for our final home tailgate of the season. Can't believe it's already coming to a close. And when we broadcast live from the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day tailgate, we are in the Starion Bank broadcast booth. Experience a banking relationship where your goals are their priority. As a community bank with a commitment to Dane County, Starion Bank redefines local banking in the Madison area. Visit one of their convenient branches in Middleton, Sun Prairie, or Monona today, or online at starionbank.com. Continuing to look at Wisconsin and Indiana and the comparisons between these two programs, Indiana head coach Kurt Cignetti was asked about the matchup with Wisconsin a little earlier this week. We're going to play this for you. Now, two things, because we played this on Wilde and Tausch this week as well. So I want two things to direct your attention to here, guys. Number one, if you're watching with us on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels, this video was clearly done by someone in the Indiana Athletics Department who maybe doesn't run the camera so often. It's a little bit of a roller coaster trying to watch where the camera's going during this. So that's number one. Number two, if you're listening intently here, you're going to hear Kurt Cignetti sound a lot like Bo Ryan. So just know those two things going into this.
And this isn't AI generated, right?
No, this is okay, this is Kurt Cignetti's press conference, right. But the camera is crazy, and he sounds like Bo Ryan. And he's actually saying something interesting comparing Wisconsin and Indiana also. So all that in mind, here's Kurt Cignetti earlier this week.
They're a tough, gritty football team. I mean, they've had a murderer's row schedule. Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Iowa, Washington, Alabama, you name it. And, you know, I got a lot of respect for Coach Fickell. He's a proven winner. You know, the guy's had a starting quarterback available about 30% of the time during his tenure at Wisconsin. That's tough duty. So I think we need to understand that we're going to get everybody's best shot. You know, we're not sneaking up on anyone anymore. We got Iowa's best shot at Iowa. We got Penn State's best shot at Penn State. You know, Oregon was obviously a big game on the road. And we'll get Wisconsin's best shot.
Did you guys enjoy that experience?
Why does he sound like Bo Ryan? That is crazy. That is so nuts.
He does sound like Bo Ryan. And just like Bo Ryan, like once you get past that, he actually said some really interesting things there. Number one being the quarterback. So when you look at Indiana, they've had a couple of good quarterbacks the last couple of years. Mendoza this year might be the Heisman favorite at this point. Like, he has been really good. And I did, like, you know that they're probably the Heisman favorite when it becomes like a catchy slogan, and saying he had his Heisman-doza moment last week against Penn State on the last play. That's pretty good.
That's good. Pretty good.
That's good.
Riley's grimacing. He didn't like it. I don't know. You just don't like it because it's not Wisconsin.
I mean, is that part of it? Sure.
Heisman-doza.
It took me a second. It's fine.
Fernando Mendoza is really good. But Wisconsin, on the other hand, we've talked about this stat before the season, in this season. They haven't had the quarterback healthy of preference almost at all during Luke Fickell's tenure. 30% was the stat that Kurt Cignetti said. It might actually be less than that. Wisconsin, I updated the numbers that I've had on this here this week. 6-15 in Luke Fickell's almost three full seasons now in games started or primarily played by the backup quarterback, not the projected number one starter going into the season. When the starter plays starts and plays the whole game, 8-2 under Luke Fickell. Now, there are other factors that go into that. I fully understand that. But early in the season, the competition is not the same as playing the gauntlet of the Big Ten later in the year when many of the quarterbacks have been hurt. But nonetheless, those are the numbers. You can do with them what you will. I think Kurt Cignetti points out a stat that goes underappreciated, underacknowledged by Badgers fans, and it is how the starting quarterback of preference has not been available for the majority, the vast majority, of Luke Fickell's tenure as the head coach here so far.
You know, it's an interesting stat. It makes you think. However, you're right. Those 8-2 games that the starting quarterback is there, it's mostly the lower level Big Ten teams and the non-conference teams that aren't very good.
Yeah, it's Miami, Ohio, Buffalo.
Right.
Understood.
But it's also true then that later in the year when you need your starting quarterback against good opponents, you don't have him. And there's no doubt that any team that has their backup quarterback in, they're going to take a step backward offensively. I don't think that Billy Edwards, for instance, if he was the quarterback this year, I don't think their record's any different. I really don't. I don't think they're beating Bama, Maryland, Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State, or Oregon. And I'm just looking at it even too, because the defense didn't really hold up their end of the bargain for many of those games either. So I think they still have the same record this year. Kurt Cignetti, when I hear him talk, he sounds like a guy who knows that they are better than Wisconsin. And he sounds like that's the classic coach's comment to where it's like, this is a lopsided matchup. We're likely going to kill them. And we just can't come out flat like that. Whenever you play someone that's sort of even or slightly better, the messaging has to be like, hey, we got this. Who are they, right? Who are they to be like, trying to build yourself up? Whenever you play a team that's lopsided, like for instance, when we probably went into that Indiana game back in 2010 that we won 83, I'm sure Coach Bielema said to us, this team, they get recruited too. They got scholarship too. They're Big Ten too. Like, you can't take them lightly. So that's just classic. So I mean, he's saying all the right things when it comes to making sure his guys stay humble and they don't take everything too lightly. And again, Penn State sort of blew that opportunity, I think, for the Badgers. But you're right. I mean, and this is where I will say, Carter Smith, if you want to start building for 2026 and be able to have a situation where you've got some continuity at quarterback and hopefully some health, this is your time to start to build that foundation now. So there is a possibility of like, okay, yeah, I get that the starting quarterback was out. I don't think it's going to make up much difference over the last 2.5 years.
Mertzi, what do you think hearing Bo Ryan? I'm sorry, Kurt Cignetti speaking there at the podium.
First off, I feel like the cameraman from The Office was shooting that. That's what it reminded me of. I was waiting for Michael Scott to walk out. I hear what he is saying, and I agree with that. I mean, I actually think that the Badgers beat Maryland this year if they have Billy Edwards. It was just like a comedy of errors in that
Edwards,
game.
You're saying, not whatever form of Billy Edwards
real,
it was
with
that
a real
day.
Billy Edwards.
Right.
With a real Billy Edwards. And I just think that it sapped the entire enthusiasm out of this season and out of this team. It was like, again, we're going to be without our starting quarterback. But two things stood out. One, I feel like that's a coaching brotherhood comment where you got some guys back and you're trying to like basically make a case for him, because you know how it is being in a position when things go wrong. And so you're going to stick up for someone who's going through the same stuff as you, unless you don't like him, like Bielema didn't like Tim Brewster.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go for two. But they recruited the backups too. This isn't like they inherited what a situation was, got thrown into it late in recruiting cycle. They brought in guys specifically to run the offense that they wanted to run. They made choices about the offense they wanted to run that's very quarterback predominant. And so you need someone in there who's good at what they do. So I have a hard time. Like, there's sympathy. And as a fan, as someone who wants to see good football played, it's a legitimate reason. But they're kind of semi-responsible for the situation as well.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think that there's other areas that are of concern, right? The offensive line this year is just struggling. So who's ever at quarterback, it's not going to stop some of those edge rushers that continue to disrupt. It's not going to help them at all either. So it's the thing that I look at. If you want to spin it positively, it's that, you know, Fickell's a defensive guy, and Trussell, and they've done okay defensively. Yeah. There's been some ugly moments, like Iowa last year and whatnot, but they're not embarrassing on defense, right? They're 41 in total defense, and that's pretty good, especially with a bad offense to not help you out. But offensively, I felt like Coach Fickell had the opportunity to reset after the Phil Longo experience, and it's gotten worse with under Coach Grimes. So, like, that is one thing where you look at, if you're going to criticize him, he had an opportunity to hit the reset button, make it right. How can we become more like Wisconsin? How can we game plan well? Who can I trust to run this thing? And it's gotten worse year over year. So I think that's the thing where it's like, that's on Coach Fickell to establish the offense, hire somebody, and chart a course.
How much for development of quarterbacks and just coaching of quarterbacks? I shouldn't even say development. It's because they're getting guys in 1 year and expected to do something with them. Think about the catastrophic mistakes that have happened here. You get that nice stop against Alabama. And what's the first play that happens? Danny O'Neill throws it right to the safety or linebacker that dropped back into coverage. Like a horrible interception. Hunter Simmons throwing the out right to the Iowa guy.
Yep.
I mean, like, your stuff like this, you're not even giving your team a chance. Mm-hmm. You can stink and just be manageable and still give your team a chance, but they legitimately spoiled two opportunities early, and the team threw in the towel.
And that is what I'm interested to see from Carter Smith today. Yeah. Can he avoid the mistake that allows Wisconsin to potentially stay in it with Indiana today? I'm curious to see if he can play intelligent football. It doesn't have to be, he doesn't have to come out gunslinging and be this incredible passer. Just play some intelligent football and show as a true freshman playing in these final four games of the season that, there's something here that we can build for the future. Wisconsin-Indiana coming up, 11 a.m. kickoff in Bloomington here on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. We're going to continue the countdown with the best of Barry Alvarez. Oh, he said some interesting things this week that you guys are going to want to hear coming up next. For a limited time, right now at TPC Wisconsin, enjoy full golf privileges and all club amenities without full dues. Pay just $150 a month through March with no golf dues until April 1st. Submit a membership inquiry at TPCWisconsin.com and start enjoying the private golf club experience you deserve. Jesse Nelson, Adam Mertz, Brad Norman, counting down to Wisconsin and number 2 Indiana on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.